Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. What do you do when anxiety attacks? I think we've all had that experience where things are going along and out of nowhere, your heart is just gripped with temptation to worry, and it can be kind of overwhelming. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself there and give yourself a little self-counsel, if you will, on thinking rightly, because you can feel it emotionally, you can feel it physically as the heart rate starts to increase and maybe even start sweating. Obviously, there's the further you go, you get into full-blown panic attacks, and they even appear to be like heart attacks. Many people go to the emergency room when physically there's nothing wrong, but emotionally and spiritually, they are in a knot. Well, Paul Tauchus, in his book on anxiety in the 31-day devotional series that PNR puts out, he said, we know about anxiety, but it's actually very difficult to define. And one of the reasons why it's difficult to define precisely is because the word itself doesn't necessarily have to be a bad word. In other words, there are times in the Bible where the same Greek word that's translated anxiety is used for godly concern. And so we understand it's something of a scale. One commentator put it like this: to have concern is good and virtuous, but to foster concerns or to foster cares is sinful. And you might say, well, okay, that sounds right. I think we know the gist of what we're talking about, but it still doesn't seem exactly precise. So Paul Tauchus said that there's an element in the sinful part where the word can also have the idea of distraction. And so it's not just a godly concern, it's a godly concern that's distracted. And maybe from a bigger context, we would understand that's distracted from thinking about God, right? Thoughts about God. Well, it's a complex world. And when we just get fixated on our circumstances, and certainly some of you are going through it, and I've had those experiences as well. Anxiety is not a temptation that I usually struggle with. Don't hear that wrong. I struggle with plenty of other temptations. But anxiety is not one of my familiar sins, if you will. But boy, just the other week, I was finding myself in Atlanta traffic, and I just had several big events on my schedule, back to back to back. And I was feeling it. I was getting anxious. I was starting to worry. And I was being tempted. My mind was racing, and it was very difficult. My daughter, who's a young woman, was in the car with me, and she was super helpful. She started quoting a psalm that she memorizes and thinks about in times of trouble. And she reminded me of some glorious truths that I know. And it just got me to think, you know, you can kind of have your pat answer when it comes to anxiety. And you think that you've got it figured out, and you kind of go to that pat answer. But there's a whole lot more from the Bible that we can say when anxiety attacks us. Now, the pat answer for me, and it's a great one, so don't hear that wrong either, is that God is sovereign. When you know that God is in absolute control of every event going on in the universe and in your world, there is comfort. We can trust God. And that's great. He is trustworthy. He is wonderful. But he is supreme. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Another translation says, and his sovereignty rules over all. God is the king of everything. And so, even though cars zigzagging in Atlanta traffic, even that wild schedule with big trips and ministry opportunities and all these different variables is within God's master plan. So therefore, come on, Dr. Krotz, relax. God's got this. All right, that sounds cliche, but it's exactly right and true. And really, that should be enough for any of us. But here on Integrated, what we do is we take the truths of God's word, how theology, which is what the Bible teaches about a given subject, we say, here's what it is, but then here's how it applies to life. And so what I'd like to do over the next few weeks is to consider, if anxiety attacks, what is the theological counterstrike to that? In other words, let's get beyond just the fact that God's in control of all of these things, and let's ask the question from all the different areas of systematic theology in the Bible, what do you have to say about anxiety? Anxiety is, of course, just our temptation of the day that we're thinking about. Obviously, there's lots of applications to lots of areas. We do this every time we get together on Integrated, but we want to focus on anxiety. What is the counterstrike? And let's just start with theology proper, that is our understanding of God the Father. What else about God the Father that we learn theologically can affect us and affect our hearts as we're being tempted with worry? All right, how about the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God. So not only does God control ultimately everything that happens in Atlanta traffic, it all happens according to his wise master plan. You are part of that plan. I'm part of that plan. And so it's not only that God controls it, it's like the best plan possible. So when life seems out of control, God is in control, but God didn't leave wisdom on the shelf as he was making the plan. No, he used wisdom as he created the world. And Proverbs 8 talks about that. But in our lives, and I thought about the doxology at the end of Romans 11, which is so rich and glorious, but Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Well, that's a wonderful passage of scripture. But as we celebrate God's wisdom, let's get very practical. If God is this wise, then should we be worried about the things that are happening in our lives? I mean, is there some doubt about the wisdom of God in the manifestation of worry? that we are experiencing. Again, I know these are difficult areas because godly concern is a good thing. But when we take it over the line, when we become distracted, when we start thinking like practical atheists, we're sinning against God because we're saying, no, God, your plan is not the right plan. It's not the best plan. But really, we need to rest in the wisdom of God in addition to his sovereignty. Right? So we're not losing out on his sovereignty. We're adding to it as we pull our theology book out. And we are seeing how God's word has a direct impact in our fight against the temptation to worry. So that's a great thing. You know, we often say, just get God in your thinking and your problem is half solved. Well, let's round out our understanding about God as we consider the teaching of the scripture about this subject. And now we're seeing a direct benefit in the way we're thinking about worry and our experience with worry. Now, again, it's a complicated subject. There's a lot more to say. And even in our understanding of God himself, let me give you some help after the break. Come back as we are fighting against the sin of worry.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. He mentioned Atlanta traffic triggering anxiety. Yeah, I think anybody who's tried to merge onto 285 during rush hour knows exactly what he's talking about. But here's what's actually happening in our culture right now. While you're stuck in traffic and you're worrying about your schedule, there's a massive ideological battle that's being waged for the hearts and the minds of Christians. There's progressive voices that are dominating every single platform. They've got unlimited funding, they've got institutional control, and they're systematically dismantling the theological foundations that have anchored Western civilization for centuries. That's why Fortis Plus exists. Fortis Plus is not just another Christian app. It's counter-programming to the decay of our culture. It is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content, and we're adding to it every single day. It's absolutely free, and it's been designed to strengthen your biblical worldview when everything else is trying to erode it. We're talking theology that actually addresses the chaos going on in the world. We're talking fellows who aren't afraid to call out compromise when they see it. Wisdom, practical wisdom for navigating a culture that's increasingly hostile to biblical truth. That's what you get every day with Fortis Plus. You can download it right now, absolutely free of charge. You can go to your app store where you download apps to your mobile device, your smart TV, or you can just go to fortisplus.org. But let me be brutally honest with you. Apps aren't enough. When you become a gospel partner with us here at Fortis Institute, you're not just making a donation and making content creation possible. You're funding the support of voices who refuse to bend the knee to cultural pressure, voices who won't water down the gospel just to get clicks, voices that understand that anxiety isn't just a personal problem, it's a spiritual symptom of a society that's rejected the sovereignty of God. That's why we need you. That's why we need partners. Because what happens when you decide to partner with us, when you believe in the content that we're producing here at Fortis Institute, you're investing in someone else and you're ensuring that one day when your grandchildren ask you, hey, the culture rotted, why didn't anyone speak up? You can look at them and confidently say, you did more than speak up. You acted because you became a gospel partner. You can find out what it looks like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. Now, this is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. I hope you weren't worried during the break that we wouldn't come back and talk more about theology when it comes to the application of what we believe about God to our war against anxiety. It can be tempting. It is very tempting for many of us many times. We've seen the right understanding of God, theology proper, is having an impact on our battle against the sin of worry. We've seen God's sovereignty. Yes, God's in control. We've seen his wisdom. Let's consider another one of his attributes. What about his love? His love. God's got you. He's got you right where you're supposed to be. I'm speaking to you if you're being tempted to worry, like I was being tempted to worry just a couple of weeks ago. And I was stressed out to the max, it felt like. And I'm so thankful for my daughter giving me words of counsel and comfort. She was very funny because she often says, well, it's just the things that mom tells me and the things you talk about in your sermons. I'm just repeating them back to you. And we just are so thankful to God for that reality, aren't we? Someone said the Christian life is learning things, forgetting them, and being reminded of them. And we all need these reminders. So let's be reminded, God loves you. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. That's fantastic. So God is allowing these circumstances because he loves you. Whatever your situation is, you can know that not only is God in control and wise, but he's also loving. Say, well, what if my circumstances are really bad? Okay. What if my circumstances is a manifestation of God's discipline in my life because I know I'm sinning and I may not be being punished, because if I was being punished, I would be in hell, but I am definitely under God's chastisement. Well, you know what Hebrews 12 says about that? God says the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 8, well, verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Okay, this is actually an evidence of God's love for you. God does care about you, even in the most difficult circumstances. All right, so God's loving me. All right, what else? God cares. God cares so much for you. And I'm thinking about the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, where it directly is applicable to this topic because Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And here's a big punchline from Jesus. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And he goes on from there, but we're just looking at the character of God revealed by Jesus. He cares for his children. He is out for your good. This is you're of much more value than the birds and the flowers. He loves you and cares for you. He's going to take care of you. You dare not be worried because I know we'll talk more about it. I know worry can be a complicated thing. And yet we agree there's a sinful side of it. And when we're sinning, we just don't want to be doubting and throwing shade on God's character. God does love us. God does care for us. He is not out to get us. He is not trying to mess our lives up. Another one of the attributes of God, which speaks directly to our anxiety and our temptation to anxiety, is the goodness of God. Your situation may look bad, and certainly it feels bad. but it is being directed by a good God, leading to God's glory and your good. Of course, you probably recognize that allusion to Romans 8:28, where we know that all things are working together for good. God causes them to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. This is a wonderful, glorious truth. Those who love God are believers. Those who are called according to his purpose, they're believers. So if you're a Christian, you can know whatever the circumstance you're in, whatever you're being tempted to worry about, God has it. And in and of itself, it might not be a good thing, but God is not going to waste it. God is good, and God does good things, and he's doing good things in your life, and he's working together to make you more like Jesus, which is ultimate good. Now, I alluded to another scripture, which is so precious, in Psalm 119, verse 68, which says simply, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Yes, the Psalms are filled with references to the goodness of God. Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." So he just starts out, good and upright is the Lord, is Yahweh. Our God is good. How about Psalm 100? That's one that I've heard ever since I was a kid in church in Virginia growing up, maybe having to memorize portions of it, hearing it in Sunday school and Bible school. But after he talks about knowing that the Lord, he is God, it is he who made us and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." Why? Verse 5, Psalm 100, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." Goodness is just God's character. It's who he is. Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Are you catching the theme here? Our God is good. So the next time you're tempted to worry and the cliche alarm goes off when you're like, okay, God's in control. Again, we want to relax and appreciate the significance of the fact that God is in control. But let's also think about his goodness in his control. All right, one more. I think we have time for one more characteristic of God that's going to help us in our war with worry. God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers and answers your prayers. So one of the key passages about anxiety in the Bible is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have a God who hears our prayers. He cares about you. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your cares or your anxieties or your worries on him because he cares for you." Now, I began this episode by saying there's a scale, isn't there, between worry and godly concern. Well, God has godly concern for us. And when we pray and lift our worries to him, he returns that with godly concern for us. He's not worried about us, but he does have care for us. He hears our prayers. He's good. He cares for his children. He loves us. He is so wise. And yes, he is in control. He's the king, and he is in control of everything happening in your life. So anxiety has attacked, and we have counterattacked with our theology of God himself. Now that you know God's word, go and do God's word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.